Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE, US 103.5. Here's your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome to the Total Access Show. We are following the Raheem Morris Show, and we are at the Holiday Store, Raymond James Stadium on the lower club level. And my guest today is Sammy Strotter. So if you want to come on down, get an autograph, ask a question, buy some gifts for Christmas, we're going to be here for the next hour. And I tell you, what an end to that game, huh?
Oh, man.
I tell you, it was a rough first half, and we'll have the opportunity to go through it and, talk about, you know, what people are saying as far as luck versus, you know, the opportunity to come back and win in the end. And before I get started, just for radio purposes, we got to do something this offseason numbers-wise. We have a 17, 18, 19, and 81, and it's wearing Gene and myself out on a weekly basis. What do you think? Was that always your number? I mean, did they give it to you?
They gave it to me. When I was in college, my number was 19. And then when I got out here, you know.
Yeah, but you had seniority on Mike Williams. Why didn't you?
Nah, that's Ike Hilliard. You know, that was the Ike Hilliard era, and he gave me the 18, I guess.
You got to wear different color shoes or spat or something.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, all right. So what do you think? End of the game, big play. You guys sat around a lot for the first half.
Mm-hmm.
You guys came out, and they were moving the ball up and down the field.
I believe we only had 19 plays, you know, in the first half. We were looking at it today, so.
What weather? Tough duty?
It's one of those things you have to buck up for. You know, it's football, especially late in December or early in December. Get ready for the games that we're going to have. Good teams win in those conditions, and you just got to find a way.
And that's where you get into the whole luck versus, you know, you look at the previous week against Atlanta, you guys had so many opportunities to put them away. You left them hanging around, and good teams find a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they did. You have to give them credit. But then Atlanta, really the first half you guys spent on the bench as an offense, but yet they let you hang around. You could have potentially gone into that half at like 24-3.
It could have been real bad. But what Coach Rock continues to preach, and he said, just take advantage of your opportunities. You never know when they're going to come. And when that opportunity comes, you got to cash in. And I think that's one thing that this team really, really says taking advantage of. And it's good to just be around. Because everybody believing, you know, once that opportunity comes, they take it and run with it. So.
And what was the sideline like when things weren't going too well? Were you guys just kind of like, all right, you know, we're going to get our chances? Or were you kind of like, this is a team we should be beating right now, and it's not going so well?
It's one of those things where, you know, the defense was hanging in there. You know, defense was doing good and everything and made great second half adjustments. They kept us in the game, and just was one play away. And then we get that break with the Regis. Really used to being catching that the deep ball, and then next play. You know, it's football. Things
right.
happen. And what I love about that team was we never blinked. We was like, okay, the defense came out there and did exactly what they had to do. And then next thing you know, you have Kellen Winslow catching the game winner. So.
Right. And you summed it up. You left a lot out in between there. The guy, Terrain, he had 102 yards on 7 carries in the first quarter and 135 going into the half. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with injuries and,
mm-hmm.
you know, footing and everything else. But I know from playing a long time, when you get in a game that's cold and wet, you spend a lot of time on the sidelines and you're sitting on a warm bench trying to stay warm. But then when you get up, it's a TV timeout. So
mm-hmm.
now you're standing in the huddle, the wind's blowing. So by the time you actually get to run a play, you're like stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not when you're young like you, but as you get older, you're like, man, I need to like run some warm-up laps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's hard. It's hard to get that rhythm back. Did you guys feel that way in the first half? Because when you came out, I kept saying on the radio, like, they need to sustain a drive, whether they get points or not.
Mm-hmm.
Get some plays to get into the – did you guys have trouble finding that rhythm in that first half?
I would say, you know, we had a lot of opportunities out there, and we left a lot of yards on out there still. It was just one of those things we didn't – it wasn't all 11 players on board at the same time. Just one person could mess it up, you know. One person not doing the right assignment now messes up for a big game, or at least to sustain the drive. And, you know, our offense is about that flow and rhythm and okay. And Josh Freeman getting in that rhythm and having that command and different things like that. It just seemed like we could never find it. And then once we got that big play, you know, it gave us, okay, there's our break. Let's go.
Right. And you can see that. Well, the second half when you guys came out and moved the ball, you can see now all of a sudden you guys were – you know, warmed up, you look better running routes, you look better as a flow. And then you saw Washington's offense, kind of like you guys were the first half, spending too much time sitting over there on the warm bench and then trying to get warmed up to do something, and they fell into the same problem. I mean, did you feel that way?
Oh, yes, sir. It's the tale of football. And what we love so much about this game is that one play could change the whole rhythm of the game. And just to see how they went to halftime, how they came back, it was just a whole other demeanor. And it was one of those things where, okay, now this is our chance. We have to jump on it. And I'm not saying that we jumped on it immediately. We were sputtering also. But when it comes down to those one plays, you know, the plays that we take for granted, it comes up and bites you in the butt. So.
Right. Well, we talk a lot about momentum over the course of the game. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to get it back, and you're trying to take advantage of it. If you get a turnover, you'll see an offense a lot of times take a shot for the end zone just because you have a little bit of momentum. Do you feel that on the sideline, or is that something you wind up working yourself into?
We always talk about that, especially from the defense. You know, Coach Ra preaching to the guys, get the ball back so the offense can score. As soon as that happens, you know, I can bet Coach Jolie is dialing up a play, and just to put that exclamation point. Okay, we're here, you know, and that's a lot of teams have that killer instinct that okay, you give us an opportunity, we are going to cash in, and we're going to make you pay for it. And you know, watching the game from Atlanta and learning. Was one of those things like, dang, we didn't step on their throat when we had a chance.
Right.
We let them play around, and good teams will always bite you. You can't do that, and you just can't take any football plays off.
Yeah, I agree. My guest tonight, Sammy Strawder, you talk about momentum and taking advantage of opportunities, and you see it consistently throughout the league. Mm-hmm. If you don't put a team away, and you know, have the opportunities to make plays, you can go back and point out in every game.
Yep.
Where you say, if we could have just finished them here, finished them there. But yet, that's what makes it great. Mm-hmm. Guys, they go out and compete. You guys start this game. We talked before the game. It was a game in December. The weather's bad. You expect to run. You know, on offense, you want to run. You saw Washington was going to come out and run. But you guys started to run, but the first two third and ones, you guys spread it out, or third and two, you guys spread it out. Is that something you saw in film we're trying to take advantage of, or is that just a – you know, trying to take a shot? Was that something that was planned, or
just feeling the defense, feeling the defense out, and seeing if we could, you know, go ahead and take that big shot, and taking what the defense gives. One of those things where, okay, we got to find out and see how they're going to react to this, you know, and hopefully we're going to get this from a learning. We're going to get the first down and also learn how you know, how they're playing us and things.
Trying
like that.
To feel out. Did they do what you expected them to do?
Yes.
You know, a lot of times you'll come out and you'll line up in different – you run through the first 15.
Mm-hmm.
You guys go through them the night before the game?
First 15.
Can you explain that to the people listening, how that works?
The first 15, you bet not mess up the first 15 plays.
They never seem to get through the first 15, do they?
It gets seven. I'll say, yeah, it's three. And you're getting your next zebra, but it's one of those sheets where, okay, these are 15 plays that we're going to
do. So you do that in meetings, the night before the game, you watch some film, you go over, okay, this is, we're expecting it to be rainy and potentially slippery, it's going to be chilly. The coach will give you guys a script of the first 15 plays, and then does he go through every one of them?
He goes through every one of them, make sure you make your checks, you know everything that's going on. What he's telling you is you better not mess up on these first 15 plays. Well, you know, well if they get caught, those are plays that they better have perfect, you know, everybody X's and O's, everybody doing what they're supposed to do.
And a lot of times the offense coordinator will design those plays with different personnel groups, different formations to make the defense really show what their game plan is. Are they going to blitz, or how are they going to adjust to two tight ends? How are they going to adjust to zebra, which is three wide receivers? Well, what if we do a bunch formation? How are they going to line up? And, you know, that's kind of the point you're making about the third and one. Just kind of make them line up in some different fronts and see what they're going to do.
And it's all window dressing, you know. It's all window dressing. Understanding, knowing that if we make a shift, they got to change their whole formation of the defense and their strength calls and different things like that. And understanding, knowing your mismatches. And, okay, this is how they're going to play this. And, you know, having a great brainiac like Coach Ole and the offensive staff. That's all they're picking on, you know. They're waiting for that mismatch. We want them to show their hand, so he can take advantage of it.
And it's very a good analogy is like professional basketball. You'll see somebody like you know, Bryant, they'll clear out a whole side of the floor and you get the one-on-one and you let them go. So you guys go through all these motions and shifts for them to really to declare what they're going to do. If it's man-to-man, then they look for that matchup with Kellen on a linebacker or you on a safety in the slot if he comes down to cover you. Then he knows, okay, I know every time this guy should beat that defender.
Yes,
is that what you guys try to do with that?
Oh, yes, sir. Especially having a guy like Josh Freeman. He understands and knows the offense so well. And when he gets in control, he's now putting his pawns in places. Okay, you go over here, you know, and it's a great thing to see. It's one of those things that Coach Gruden, you know, when you watch him on Monday Night Football, he always points out, you know, when he's talking about Drew Brees or something like that, how he's nitpicking and telling, okay, this is what I want. You know, he's really telling the defense this is what he wants you to do. You do this, and I'm going to do this, and different things like that, manipulating them. And right. A lot of people say take what the defense give you. And a lot of good offenses, they're going to take whatever they want to take, you know, and they're going to manipulate. So,
and people don't realize how much of the chess match goes into it, because you're working for that matchup. And some coaches are more fundamentally driven, where we're just going to line up and run what we run, and we're going to run it better than you can stop it. But there's other guys that are saying, okay, well, if we put two tight ends in a game, they have to leave linebackers in instead of going to five defensive backs. So we're going to get matchups that we're looking for. How much does Coach Olsen do that? Does he spend a lot of time in practice working on that stuff?
He harps on that the most. And one thing I really, really learned about him is the fact that no matter what personnel is in, the checks on the defense of the blitzing, he makes sure that he gives us every situation that we have. Okay, when it comes to blitz, no matter what personnel it is, this is how we're going to handle this situation. And from a big thing that I've seen, the progression has been from last year to this year, was Josh Freeman having that same comfortability. And now Coach Ole doesn't even have to say anything. Josh, you know, no matter what the person, it could be Zebra, it could be two tight ends, it could be you package, you know, a goal line. He understands and knows, okay, this is the blitz that they're going to do. You know, if we're in a base package, this is the blitz that they're going to run.
Now, does he call plays for that, or is that adjustments that Freeman makes?
He calls plays for him, but Freeman has the adjustments to make them also, you know, so. And it's real good just to be around that. You know, we're all young and we're
seeing. And it's good that as an offensive coordinator, from being a player, when he explains that to you, it helps. A lot of offensive coordinators know all that and they just do it with the quarterback. But when they tell the receivers anything, why they're checking what they're checking. It makes it a little easier, especially when it gets loud and you're away. You're all looking for the same thing. So you almost don't need all the hand signals because you're all seeing it together.
And all you can do is play. Play fast. You're not thinking now. I understand, okay, two safeties. There's a two safety shell. The look, you know, Josh Freeman's progression is more on this side than on whether it feels one safety. You know, the one safety is going to close this up, so his immediate look is over here to the right type of thing. So it's one of those, okay, now I understand it's a zone or a man. I know if it's a zone, I can just sit right there. I don't need to do, you know, I don't need to read it out and different things like that.
Now, for the people listening, when you watch it on TV, you'll see Josh Freeman go back, and he'll go through a cadence.
Yep.
And it looks like he's going to snap the ball.
Yep.
Well, the reason he does it, he'll send a guy in motion, and he'll do a fake cadence. And he does that for the defense, you know, because everybody on defense tries to disguise what they're doing to confuse the offense. Well, if they believe you're going to snap it, they have to get in their position to do their job. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're going to get beat.
Yep.
So he'll go through it and do the fake snap count, and then he'll walk up the line of scrimmage and point to one of the linebackers, and you'll see Cadillac walk up next to him.
Yep.
Well, he's telling him who the offensive line's responsible for, so Cadillac from there has to figure out who he has.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they start it again, they start to shift. Everybody has to adjust. But you guys on the outside are really helping him, because when you go in motion or you shift, you have to make the defense believe that they're really going to snap it. Because if you go in motion before the offensive line goes down, they know that you can't snap it. Do you guys walk through that a lot? I mean, is that something that's a big part of your walk? Because you have walkthrough practices and then you have the live practices.
Walkthrough has really, really taken, you know, especially late in the season. It takes the most important, you know, call. And it's one of those things where not only for Josh Freeman to see, it's for all of us to understand and to know that, okay, this is not for nothing to be playing with. This is a lot of chess going involved in. The faster that you can understand that, you know, and the receivers can understand the tight ends and different things like that, the more successful we're going to become as an offense.
Now, how hard is that for all you guys? All you guys are young guys. It's not like you have a lot of experience dealing with it. You guys mm-hmm. could have come out of college in a completely different system of offense, and it's mm-hmm. not nearly as complicated with the window dressing and everything because in yeah. college you don't have that much time to put it in. But are all these guys understanding it that well?
That's one thing I really have to take my hat off to Mike Williams and Regis. There's one of those things where, you know, last year I see myself fumbling, and their progression is high, you know, and it's one of those things where they're picking it up, and I'm smiling now, you know, as a big brother looking at him like, I like that, you know. Now we can go ahead and talk about different situations, and they'll understand that being in the ballpark. And when Josh is doing that, you hear Mike, you know, during the walkthrough saying, "Oh, that's the Mike right there," you know, and different things like that. And oh, if he comes, the free safety's doing it, you know, and hearing that and understanding that. It's just one of those things like, okay, now we are coming, you know, because I can tell you last year it was nothing near that, you know. We the complex of the offense and different things like that, we weren't that advanced.
Well, Freeman wasn't really ready mm-hmm. himself for that. He spent the whole offseason. But how much of that has to be credited to the coaching?
I mean, great.
Your receiver coach has got to be able to spend a lot of time with you guys getting you all on the same page.
Mm-hmm. And one thing about it's different ways to do it also. You know, all of us have learned from a different, you know, a lot of people have to have hands-on, seeing it one-on-one, and others, you know, they pick
Everybody
it up.
Learns
yeah,
different.
They pick it up real fast. So just to understand and see that, the way how Coach Yarbs integrate everybody's coaching philosophy, you know, the way he coaches everybody different is one of those things like, okay, I like that. You
right.
know, he's not only talking to everybody the same way, he's talking different people different right. ways just so he can correlate and understand.
Well, as a coach, it's no different than you
being
having kids or
mm-hmm.
kids in your class.
Yeah.
Some kids
being
you have
teacher.
To yell out to motivate. Some, if you yell at them, they're going to cry. Maybe not in the NFL, but kids. And some of them, you know, you have to kind of push along and encourage. But, mm-hmm. all right, we got to take a break. If you guys want to join us on the phones when we come back, numbers in Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, Pinellas, 727-461-4620, 800 numbers, 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. We're going to be back in a minute more with Sammy Strauter on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. Tonight, my guest, Sammy Strauter. Again, the phone numbers, Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and 800-596-BUCKS, 2827. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you guys were really lucky rather than good. All right, so you guys go into the half and really, you know, things. I think it was a great move by Raheem. Not taking the timeouts, you know, let the clock go down. You guys had a rough first half, but yet you're able to sneak out of it with only, you know, one score away from tying the football game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's obviously conversations afterwards, whether or not it was a good decision or not. I think it was, just because you certainly don't want to give up any more momentum before the half. So when you get into the locker room, what did he have to say to you guys? I mean, was he screaming and yelling, or what was he saying?
He said, we are in control, you know. We're in control of our own destiny, and we got to take advantage of every play, each and every play, own it. And that was just one of the things that he really harped on. He was like, he always says statistics, you know, you know his saying.
Statistics for losers?
I'm telling you, he'll tell
you. Well, it definitely applied yesterday, right?
He'll tell you in a heartbeat. And W's is the most important, you know. You win ugly, and then the good points, the window dressing points, you know, the Oregon offensive points ended up coming along. So it's just one of those things where we got to grind and dig deep and really find out the character of our team, you know, that never, never, never give up attitude. And, you know, just the faith and belief that he has in us. And
now, did he say that at halftime, or is that something he just says in general? What specifically did he say? Like, you know, listen, we just potentially could – if we don't stop their run, they're going to be breaking NFL records on us.
Well, that's one thing that's so great about that defense is in the second half, they come out and it's
lights out.
So
what did they do differently? Well, you're obviously meeting about the offense, so that's probably not a question for you. But you do lose Gerald McCoy
mm-hmm.
In the beginning of the game and Quincy Black at the end of the game. He mm-hmm. breaks his arm. And, you know, so now you're down two more guys after you already have an extremely thin defensive backfield. I mean, that can't make you feel too good when you're not able to stop the run. So those guys come out. First, you guys are kicking it to them, so you assume they're going to start grinding again. Was that a designed squib kick? Or was that did he miss hit that?
No, I think it was.
He wouldn't admit it if he did, but did they call it? Were you on the kickoff team?
Yeah, it was one of those drive kicks, and, you know, it hit the right person that we wanted to hit, and tried to give the person that I guess he wanted to take advantage of in the run, and Hayward did a great job of getting the ball, and you know, after that, and the offense, the momentum, the whole thing shifted, and you could see, okay, now it's our time. So,
well, it was definitely one of those games, and I've played at them, and I'm sure you have, where even though everything that could go wrong possibly goes wrong, you go into the half and you're like, you know, this is a game we should win, and you just feel like the whole game that you're going to find a way to start making plays. Did it feel like that? Because we've seen games where you guys have lost where you can see the life come out of the sideline. Was it like that, or you guys just kind of saying, we just need an opportunity to make something happen?
Just need that opportunity, especially with giving up so many yards and still being in the game. It was like one of those, okay, the opportunity is going to come. We just have to take advantage of it, you know, and be ready. If it's your number, be ready and make that play. And especially with the thing, you know, with the fumble snap at the 1 yard line, it's like, okay, man, we really put ourselves in a bind. But the defense did a great job and gave us back the ball. And then you see Josh Freeman standing in the pocket and delivering a great throw to Kellen Winslow, and it changed the whole complexity of the game. And now you got to play. You know, we're okay. We got the 2-point conversion. Josh Freeman did the big Cam Newton impression and running over and everything, got the 2-point conversion. And it's ours and our defense hand. We have trust in them. We have faith in them, just like the defense have faith in us in the last drive.
So did that turnover on that kickoff really kind of spark your sideline?
Oh, yes, sir. I was
saying, you know, we watched the sideline. We, you know, TJ's down there, and he's giving us the report on how you guys are acting body language-wise, you know. It was tough to tell yesterday because there was a lot of people trying to keep warm.
Warm.
I tell you, that wet and cold, I'd rather have it snowing. Wet and cold's no fun.
Yes, sir. Give us
it's
the
colder
Chicago
in Florida, too, because it's wetter down here anyway. But
give us the Chicago game in the snow. And please
seems warmer, doesn't it?
Keep the rain away, I guess.
But it seemed like, at least from our perspective, that, you know, the sideline kind of came alive at that point, and it really turned the momentum. You know, and do you believe that? I mean, that led to a field goal, obviously, but, I mean, was the sideline different after that?
I believe the sideline was up going into the second half because of the second half adjustments and different things like that. But when that turnover came, it was like, okay, this is we're really in this game now, you know?
And that led to a field goal. And, you know, obviously their kicker missed a couple. I mean, I think that second one was almost like extra point range that he missed. Surprised we haven't heard his name today. Speaking of which, breaking news, Brett Favre is inactive today or tonight for the game that was moved to Detroit because of the situation in Minnesota, and they're saying that he could potentially be on IR. So his 297-game starting streak has officially come to an end.
What? The Iron Man.
How about that?
The Iron Man.
There's not too many Favre fans in this area, especially from the old days. he's taken it to us too many times. Anyway, back to you guys. You know, you got a young team, and so many times this year we've seen you guys deal with adversity. And, you know, I asked Stiles G. White one time when we were doing a show, you know, what is it about this team that you'd be down by 17, 14, 7, but you guys just don't get rattled? And he was saying that you guys aren't you're so young, you haven't been around long enough to realize that you shouldn't come back from those type things. I mean, is that a true statement?
Yes, sir. And I would say our leadership also. One thing I really I have to continue to congratulate is Josh Freeman and the poise that he has. Like, Josh Freeman lived for those moments, you know, being down and he's going to come right, you know, the comeback kid. And he loves that moment. You know, he be in the huddle making jokes. And he, you know, now let's get down to business. And,
how different is that from last year when you saw him get in there?
A lot. Last year at first it was like, you're not going to play. And then, you know, later on in the season, you can start seeing that, you know, that competitive edge that he has, that competitive greatness that he has. And, the hate to never lose, you know, he hates that feeling. So doing anything in his power to make sure he put the pieces in the right places so we can succeed.
Well, another guy, one of the leaders on that offense, and you know, Cadillac Williams makes mm-hmm. a great play to mm-hmm. get the second field goal in a row on the second consecutive drive.
The one-hand catch.
The one hand goes down, gets up, and just gets it in. And it turns out that that field goal makes it by about a yard and a half. So if he doesn't pick up those yards, you know, Connor Barth is as good as there is, but that mm-hmm. was just not going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, and how many times has he been able to step up and make plays when given the opportunity this year?
Yes.
I mean, is he a verbal guy in the locker room?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, Cadillac going to let you have it.
I played with him, but he, you know, he was really young when I played with him, so he wasn't talking too much. Does he talk a lot now?
That's big, bro. He's one of those guys that it's never a dull moment with him, you know. He's always inspiring somebody. He's getting on somebody, and just the personality that he has is infectious and make you like, okay, you know, he'd be in a huddle laughing, you know, dang, I didn't even know that mic check, but, you know, and different things like that. And he'd come back, and he understands and knows the game really, really well.
Yeah, and he's a fun guy to talk to because he's a passionate guy and all things that he's been through. It's great to see him doing well. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We have a couple callers. We have Chris in St. Pete. You're on with Sammy Strutter.
Hey, what's up, Dave? What's up, Sammy?
How you doing?
Not much. Hey, Sammy, congratulations on the win yesterday.
And,
you know, when people talk about ugly or pretty wins, we were talking about that around the water cooler this morning at work. And I said, hey, listen, if you hand me a $100 bill, I don't care if you hand it to me crisp and clean or dirty and wrinkled, man. It's a $100 bill. I will take it, put it in my pocket, and spend it. So,
yes, I like that.
A win is a win, man. I don't care how it comes. And Sammy, it seems like Coach Ole, and this is the way I like offenses to be run and played and called, is he seems to be using and utilizing everybody. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the past, the coach that we had here before and the, you know, coaches that we've had in the past and even around the whole league, they tend to just key on two or three guys, and that is the offense. They're going to be the guys doing all the work, and they tend to key on them, whereas I like Olsen's philosophy. You spread it all around. You don't know who's gonna pop up next. I mean, one week it's you, next week it's, you know, it's Regis and Williams and Winslow yesterday. You just never know. And now you got our backup QB, Josh Johnson, out there running some patterns. And I want you to talk about Josh Johnson, because I'm sure he's excited to be in the game. Are you guys working with him? Does he have some hands? Can he catch some balls? And should other teams worry about him running out in a pattern? Thanks, Sammy.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, Josh Johnson is a heck of an athlete. He's real fast. He has a great understanding of the defense. And, you know, he knows when and where to be. He's like a big brother to a lot of the receivers also. Just the fact that, you know, he can communicate with almost anybody. You know, you'd be around him for 2-3 minutes and you're like, I like this guy, you know. And he's a constant professional, and being in a position that he's in, what else can I do, and how can I make this team better? And you know, just seeing that from an outsider looking in is like, okay, there's something great that's happening in this program, in this organization. And, you know, just to see the fact that when he get in, it can go the distance. He understands and he knows this offense well. He played, you know, pretty well. He played well last year when he had his opportunity. And he's been with Coach Ole since day one, I believe. The longest person he's been with Coach Ole, and he knows his philosophy, he knows his offense inside and out. And just to see that Coach Ole is integrating him also, and just speaks to the progression, not only as the offense as a whole, but offensive players individually.
Well, we've seen him in the backfield. We've seen him in that wildcat front. We've also seen him line up that wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's a pretty valid question. Is there potential plays for him to catch that receiver without giving away too much?
And please believe if they don't cover him and you know, if the corner don't.
No, can he make a move around the slam route? We know he's athletic enough. He's smart enough to do it.
Yes, sir.
But will Coach Olsen do it? We've seen him throw the ball to Donald Penn. We've seen him do some crazy stuff.
Josh Freeman and Josh Johnson are in the same room, so I can bet.
He's working on something? I can bet that
if it's a go route and the corner is slacking, Josh Freeman will throw it up to him and allow him to make a play.
And the other question was spreading the ball around. Mm-hmm. you know, I think a sign of a good offense is a quarterback that can use all of his receivers. You always have teams that have the number one, number two guy, and the defense is double team. We're seeing Mike Williams double team more often. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of attention, even on that big touchdown that Kellen caught. He had a linebacker inside and a safety outside. Yeah. And it turns out he beat the safety on a little stick move. Mm-hmm. The people listening, it's kind of like a double move. You fake like you're going out to get him to jump it and then come over the top. But he mm-hmm. got the outside guy, but the linebacker played soft.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice throw over the top of his head and a better catch to snatch it out of the air.
Especially in that condition.
But you see defenses taking guys away. But when you're throwing, he threw to 8 different receivers yesterday. I mean, that says a lot. That's hard to defend all those guys. And he believes in all those guys. And is that something Olsen intentionally does, is try to spread the ball around? Or is that Freeman just able to read a defense and spread it around?
I'll say it's a little bit of both. You know, Coach Ole understands and sees, you know, like a New England offense and how they keep on integrating and different things like that. You want to give people a lot of opportunities. And whoever it is, you know, that's why we preach on cashing on your opportunities. You never know, you know, especially with Josh. He extends plays with his feet a lot. And you never know, you know, you might be that target. And when you're always, you know, okay, I'm going to make this play. When you're going to the host, say, I'm going to make this play. I'm the read. Now you're running your routes with more purpose. You're not saying, okay, I'm not getting the ball, so I'm just going to run this,
right,
clear route. No. Because Josh Freeman will throw the ball at you, and he's going to jump on you if you're not paying attention. And just that fire that he has. And I think it's a reflection of Coach Ole and both Josh Freeman.
Well, I was pretty fired up to see John Gilmore on the tight end screen.
Oh,
you know,
yes,
you get the
sir.
Ball, that was one I always petitioned for,
yes,
but never
sir.
Seen him yet.
He was rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It was great. He's been stepping up, and he's been playing great, you know. But now he's getting rewarded with the ball.
Well, it's like Cadillac.
Like
he's in there picking up all those blitzers. Uh-huh. You got to throw him a ball to keep him happy, right? I like John Gilmore.
Yes,
I'm a
sir.
Fan of that. Okay, we're gonna go back to the phones. We have Micah in Spring Hill.
Hey, Sammy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you, sir?
Good. I just want to say, when you were coming out of the Oregon Beavers, I thought like you were basically almost like a Wes Welker, but maybe a better athlete. I'm definitely glad you're here at this organization. As far as the receiving corps and the quarterback, you guys are almost reminding me back when Ben Roethlisberger went to Pittsburgh, and they had more of like a ball control, but they also had talent on the outside. But as the team grew, they would throw the ball a little bit more. Do you feel like the direction of this offense is going to be similar as, like, say, in the next year or two, you guys are going to spread it out a little bit more and, you know, pass the ball? Or what do you think?
We're going to go with whatever best suits the personnel and the personality of the team. You know, we have great, great running backs. We have great tight ends. And we're trying to be great at the wide receiver. That's one thing I love about our coach. He's going to always continue to push us. And He's not gonna pat us on our back too early, and he's not gonna give us, you know, he's not gonna stay on us and put us in the doghouse to one of those things. So he has a great mixture. He knows how to control us, and because you know we are young, so they say. So he knows how to bring the best out of us, and one of those things where, you know, as long as you're making plays, they're gonna continue to throw the ball, and it's one of those things where we have to, you know, take that to pride and say, okay, when our number is called, it's your time. And and to push each other, you know, go downfield, block them for Cadillac and LeGarrette and M. Ernest, you know, and different things like that. Because we see John Gilmore out there blocking. We see K2 doing the same thing, going the extra mile for us. So it's one of those things where it has to be infectious. And
right. And there's no question about it. Playmaking is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
You watch it every week. You see number one receivers start dropping passes. The next thing you know, you see the rest of the team do it. And yep. It's the same thing. You know, earlier in the season, Mike Williams was stepping up making big plays. And I think that raised the level of all the receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Kellen. And now, you know, John Gilmore wants to do it. We saw Purvis catch a couple balls. You know, Cadillac catching balls. We even see Blount coming out of the backfield catching them. So, playmaking is contagious. It's part of that momentum thing that we talk about. You know, that's not one of the tangible things you can, you know, really put a finger on, but you feel it as a player on a weekly and a daily basis. All right, we got to take another break. If you want to join us, talk to Sammy Strader. Numbers in Hillsborough, 813-990-4620, 727 in Pinellas. 461-4620 and toll-free 800-596-BUCKS. 2827. We are at the Holiday Store, west side of the club, Raymond James Stadium. This is the Total Access Show. We'll be back in a minute on the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access continues on 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here again is your host, Dave Moore.
All right, we're back with Sammy Strader. Again, if you want to join us on the phones, here's the phone numbers. 813-990-4620. Vanilla, 727-461-4620. Toll-free, 800-596-BUCKS. 2827. Let's go back. Before we go back to the phones, you know, we talked about the two field goals in a row. Now you got some momentum. You guys are rolling. You go all the way down the field, and there's a fumble on the one-yard line. And it was hard to see what happened. It looked like the snap was fumbled. But what did the guard run into Freeman come? Did you guys have an opportunity to watch the film?
Yeah, we watched film.
Was it the snap or was it the guard trying to pull around at, you don't know?
Yeah, no, no.
What's up, man?
That was you personnel. I'm not.
Oh, you're not even messing around.
I'm just like a spectator at that point.
So what was the conversation on the sideline after that? Were you guys like, oh, here we go again? Or was it like, all right, well, now we're moving the ball. We just got to get it back and we'll do it again?
That's what it is. Okay, we had the momentum. Football, things happen. Now,
we gotta at least you gave it to them on their own one.
Yes, sir. Now we have to take advantage. We can't let any more opportunities slip away, you know, because the margin of error is slim. So,
all right, we're gonna go back to the phones. We have Michael in Winter Haven. Michael, you're on with Sammy.
Okay, thanks. I was just gonna say, good game this week, Sammy. Another good win for us.
Thank you.
Okay. The question I was going to ask you was, this is your second year playing, and you've had the privilege to play with Josh Freeman. This is your second year with him. If there is one thing that you'd say that he's significantly improved on over the past, like from when he started last year to this year, what would that be?
Leadership.
Leadership?
On and off the field. Just the way he carries himself. Coming into him as a rookie, you know, he was Freeman, the gunslinger. And, you know, he's still like that, but it's more controlled, and he understands and knows better. He's more focused on different things, and just the way he carries himself on and off the field, you know, through the locker room and different things like that, and how he can communicate to all the players differently. So,
and that's something we've seen. You know, everybody we've interviewed and TJ has, they all say the same thing, that this guy is just – you know, even Raheem Morris on one of the shows, they were giving him all kinds of instructions, and inside a 2-minute situation, just smiled and gave him a thumbs up, like, I got it. Stop talking in my ear, you know? Because he listens to all that, and 15 seconds before the play, they got to cut him off, you know? All right, we got another question from the audience from Captain Bones. How do you manage to stay out of trouble, and how could you share with your coworkers, players, the same? Got any suggestions? And obviously, it's in lieu of the Geno Hayes thing last night. So what do? You just, how do you stay out of trouble? You just don't go out or what?
You just got to understand and know that you just got to continue to carry yourself as a professional each and every moment. Whether it's when you're on the field, when you're walking home, you know, walking your dog, you're under a microscope. And it's the big thing, you know, and they're going to be quick. Even whether it's your fault or not, you know, the media is going to be quick to point the finger and say, oh, look where he was at. He shouldn't have been doing that. And, you know, you can be in the right, you can be in the wrong. It's just one of those things where, you have to understand and know that in a blink of an eye, things can change. And now you're looking at the villain and different things like that. But one thing about this team that I love is that we're gonna put our arm around our guys, and we're gonna get through this. You know, we're not just gonna put one by us and let you go through a situation individually. We're gonna come collectively as a unit, and we're gonna tackle the situation.
And we see it all the time. It's not just the Bucs. I mean, it's something that's part of the game. You know, they say players are role models, whether you agree with that as a player. In the NFL, you're not in it very long, and you just have to be smart enough that if you put yourself in situations like that, 90% of the time you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. That might not have been true 20 years ago, but now you are under a microscope, and if you know you're going to be in a situation like that or potentially – you paid a tremendous price to get to the NFL. It's not easy to get here, and it's hard to stay here once you're here, because the day you become a starter, the day they start looking for somebody to replace you,
yep.
So you have to understand that and say, listen, if for the 5 years that I'm in here or the 10 years I'm in here, I'm just going to keep myself out of that situation altogether. And a lot of times, you know, you get a big win, you want to go out, you have a good time, but you just got to be able to keep it in perspective because one shot, we've seen it so many times, you know, it's over. It's going to, you know, disappear. Do you agree with that?
Yes, sir. It's just something that, you know, people have been preaching on since you were a little kid. And you always hear it like, okay, but it's the truth, you know. Something you can't take for granted. And it's one of those situations where you just constantly and understand and know that, you know, it's not going to go my way, no matter what. You can be in a total right. If you can be totally right. You know, it's going to come out with the whole situation like, oh, look at that. You know, they're going to try to make a negative because it sells. That's what sells. And, you know, that's what they want to hear. So
that's true. Reality TV, right?
Yeah.
All right, we're going back to the phones. We have Giovanni in Rockledge.
That's true. Reality TV.
You're on with Sammy.
Hey, how you doing, Sammy?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I just want to know, like, you know, with all you young rookies coming on and your second-year player, that how you guys get focused and stay so motivated to be the best. I've been a Bucs fan for a lot of years, and I'm really happy to see how you guys are really motivated. It really makes me proud to be a Bucs fan.
It's I would say winning. You know, the winning is contagious, man. Especially with the young guys, everybody say, oh, they're young, so they don't know. But once you start to win, you get that momentum and that swag, and you know, a lot of us young kids say that swag is infectious, and you just take the ball and run with it. And also, you know, we have that great competitiveness where you see a Mike Williams go out there and have a great game, and you see Regis have a great game. It makes you want to step up, like, okay, I want to have a great, you know, this is gonna be my game, and different things like that, and never in. And any jealousy at all. It's just pushing each other to be that to be great. You know, whether it's your time or not. You know, it might be one game. The ball's coming your way, and you're taking advantage of it. And you know, you got to continue to have that attitude. And that, you know, you go into practice and you see guys running the routes like it's game day. You know, and just being a part of that. Okay, this is something great. And you know, from last year to this year, you just see the progression of it. And, you know, now you see the young guys, you know, since we are young and we can run.
You can laugh, but you are young.
We are.
Been getting younger now that a couple more guys are out.
We are. And it gives you that attitude and that mindset where you can go out there and look at on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You can take it and play it as a Sunday. So when you go out there on Sunday, it's just having fun now. You know, I've done it all. I've seen all the coverages that we should expect, you know. It's not that much that they can throw at us, and when they do, we're gonna go out and make our sideline adjustments, our halftime adjustments, and go out there and play, you know, play fast, and don't think about it. And that's one thing. And I really, really have to say, you know, I've seen, especially like a Regis, where he was thinking that now it's I'm playing, I'm coming out here, and I'm having fun, I'm playing. This is what I do, and just to see that comfortability come, and it's a breaking point for everybody. It's that game where you say, okay. Okay, it's right there. You know, I see that right there, and you just run with it, and it's infectious.
He seems like he gets to be the designated reverse guy. Does that bother you? Because you seem to be the open field guy. You got to sit back there looking up in the air when you got 10 guys trying to take your head off. He gets a nice little pretty reverse in open space. Have you been petitioning for that or what?
He's really fast. Regis is one of those.
Who's faster, you or him?
Regis. I'm gonna say Regis being his speed.
He's a strider.
His speed is deceptive, and he's strong with it. He can break somebody down. He can run through you, and just being a fan of him, you know, when I was in college, when I was seeing him in Illinois, his freshman sophomore year, just like, man, this guy can ball over there, you know. I'm over there in Oregon State, you know, looking at different people, and just seeing him, and like, okay, that's like the little Anquan Boldin. I can see, you know, the younger Anquan Boldin. And one of those strengths, and you know, and then now seeing Mike Williams and how he's progressing, the playmaking ability that he has, like, man, okay, you know, the scouts and the organization was understanding, knowing that, you know, they're doctoring up something nice, and you know, having a great guy like Josh Freeman leading, and the great veteranship like Ernest Graham and a Cadillac like Williams, you know, just to put their arms around guys, you know, the Kellen Winslows and different things like that. It's is one of those. I'm happy and very proud to be here.
I can tell you that. I mean, you guys got a good base now, a bunch of good guys. All right, we got Walt on his cell phone in Tampa. You're on with Sammy.
Hey, good morning. Well, I'm sorry. Good afternoon, guys. Good evening. Okay.
Good evening.
Sammy, I just want to say this, right? And my comment, it's a comment more than anything, right? Concerning Geno Hayes and concerning the thing that the arrest of Buccaneer players and whatever, right? This is what I have to say, right? I'm 50 years old, right? And at my job, if I decide to leave work and get in trouble, it's not a reflection on the company that I work for. The difference being that I'm not a professional football player. I'm not this, right? And along with that comes a responsibility. And I don't want people to try to make it seem as if Raheem Morris is not doing what he has to do as far as telling God. You guys are grown men. And for those that don't go out and get in trouble, it's obvious that, you know, there are decisions that people make. And I'm not asking you to comment on another player, but I'm just want to say that as men, as grown men, we make decisions and we have to be held responsible. When my mother raised me, she taught me right from wrong. And if I go out and get a DUI right now, no one's going to call my house and say, you know what, Miss Walker, you're not in control of your son. So it's a matter of guys making personal decisions, and I'm thankful for the guys that do, and everyone learns as life goes on. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
You have nothing to add to that? No, I mean, he makes a good point. And unfortunately, because of the nature of what you do, you know, it's going to be a reflection on you, the team, and that's where you get into that whole role model, whether you want to be one or not, you know, and you have to – keep that in mind, you know, at least for the time you're in the NFL, and a lot of times, depending on how long you play, long after the NFL, and it seems to always come back. But it is. It's about making decisions, and, you know, everybody wants to go out and have a good time, and you just got to, you know, you got to know whether it was warranted or not. You got to understand the situation. It's no different than being in a game. You know, if a guy's run out of bounds and you hit him late, you got to make a decision. And you got to understand the situation when you make that decision, and that comes with maturity. That comes with a lot of things, but you always have to be on guard, you know. And it's no different than, you know, somebody that's a movie star that's out in public and doing the same kind of thing. It's just you're in the public eye, and we all know that drama sells. I mean, turn on the TV, right?
Yes, sir.
Nobody wants to see that. You know, Sammy Strotter's a good guy. He went to go visit the hospital at All Children's with the kids. But they want to hear about the guy that got arrested or got in a fight or something like that. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, misery loves company, unfortunately.
Yes, sir.
In a lot of cases. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have George in Tampa.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good, good. And yourself?
Not too bad, Sammy. I got a question for you. I know you're a Pac-10 guy. I know you're a football guy, too. Now, we got Oregon State taking their – they're going out to try and get one from the SEC in the national championship game. So I'm wondering – is this the Pac-10's year? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, you talk, yeah, the Oregon Ducks you're talking about, right? It's going to be an exciting game, a very explosive game. You know, Pac-10, I'm loyal to the Pac-10. But I can say, you know, the SEC, they play some football out here. That's one thing, you know, since I've been out here. The SEC, they brings it every week. And not saying anything, not taking anything away from the Pac-10. But, you know, it's something amazing. each and every week is a big game. But I think Chip Kelly gonna have them guys ready at Oregon. And it's their time. You know, they have the opportunity. Now they have to cash in. But I'm going with Oregon, the Oregon Ducks. SEC fans, you know, Pac-10 loyalty, baby.
All right, with that, we're going to take another break. We'll be back shortly with Sammy Strotter on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back. We are finishing up here with Sammy Strotter. We got about 5 minutes left. You know, there was a pretty good quote by Raheem after the game. They said, "Do you feel bad for Washington?" And his response was, "Well, did Atlanta feel bad for us last week?" You know, it goes back to making plays and putting teams away. You know, what did he have to say after the game besides congratulations?
It wasn't a beauty contest, but we got it done.
It's true.
It wasn't a beauty contest, but we got it done. We're a step closer to our dream, you know, to our goal. And we was preaching. He was preaching, you know, 10, the race to 10. And we got 8. So now we got to continue on and you know, just take advantage of it. I can't press on it enough. We have to understand and know that, you know, these games are, they're meaningful, and it's a great time, you know, for a young team like this just to be playing in December, where, you know, the games do mean something. You know, you could be on the other end of the spectrum, and you just want to, you just trying to ruin things. But now we have a great opportunity, and destiny is in our hands, so we control it.
So what are you going to do about injuries now? You've seen you lost two more guys. You lost two last week. You've lost, you know, Cody Grimm before that. I mean, obviously you're not a personnel guy, but how is that going to affect your practice, your preparation? Is it? Is it not?
It's what Coach been preaching on is now it's somebody else's time to step up, make a name for yourself. The opportunity is going to be there. The position is going to be there. Take advantage of it. You know, this here is your calling. That's, you know, I believe they're going to put the best people in the position to succeed. And it's just one of those things where, you know, we can't blink. No matter who's in there, we can't blink, and we got to go out there and make a name for ourselves. Look at it, James Lee. You know, he came in and he's playing exceptional ball. You know, Larson, he's came in there and played exceptional ball. And, you know, E.J. Biggers came in and played an exceptional ball. So, when your opportunity comes, take advantage of it, right. You know. Cause
you don't know if you're going to get another one. Exactly, that guy's healthy again.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Well, one of the reasons you guys have been so successful, even with the injuries, is that you've been able to stay healthy in the skill positions. The receivers have been healthy. Josh Freeman, obviously, the biggest. Mm-hmm. The running backs. So even if your offensive line is beat up in one area, you can almost run away from them or do some things protection-wise to help out. But I think that your playmakers – that are making plays in key situations are the group that's healthy. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
Yes, sir. And, you know, especially the more and more time that you're not missing practice, you can work on that, the chemistry. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about you. You know, you had your first opportunity last year. So you've been here since the beginning of all this. And, you know, really winning three games last year and now – to see the success of the team and the progression, and you are a special teams guy is really how you got your opportunity. Hey, were you a big kickoff guy? Are you okay over there?
No, I will be.
I was trying to string that along so you can cough. You know, you had your opportunity on special teams. In college, you obviously were a big return guy. You had a lot of all-purpose yards. Describe it. Week 9 last year, you were the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week. What did you get to do that game?
I would say Clifton Smith got hurt. It was a game where the Carolina Panthers took a cheap shot. It was just one of those things where I was put in a position to step up, and thank the Lord, I took advantage of my opportunity and let my you know, name be shown a little bit. But I would say that goes out to Clifton Smith for being that big brother, that mentor, and allowing me to know and understand that, you know, at any given time, you know, now should, you know, you got to take advantage of it. And
and who was the opponent that week?
Carolina Panthers, I believe.
That was the 97-yarder?
Yes, sir.
Is that still the longest in Bucs history?
No, tied with Michael Spurlock, the legend, you know, Michael Spurlock, you know.
He's another guy that's worked himself into a, you know, a position at wide receiver where he's primarily a special team guy. And then you come back and you have your first NFL touchdown in Josh Freeman's first win. How about that? So if he plays for 20 years, you can say, hey, listen, in his first win, I caught a touchdown pass in the throwback uniforms, no less.
In a throwback.
What route was that? Was that a fourth down?
Yes, sir. No. I'm not for sure. I think it was a fourth down.
Yeah,
I'm not for
it's
sure.
Like a fade route?
No, it was a hitch and go.
It's a hitch and go?
Yeah, we were about that at the 12-yard line.
And you laid out for it.
It was a perfect place ball. And it's funny that somebody brought it to my attention. They're like, that's the same exact spot Santonio Holmes got his Super Bowl catching. Got the Super Bowl.
I'm like,
man, you know, it's crazy how small of the world it is, you know. It's right there next to the neck.
All right, we only have a couple minutes left. You're a charity guy. You're a smart guy. I have a degree in sociology. You've been an academic All-American, a Pac-10 All-American academically. I read that you sang at the Holiday Carols at Westminster. You going to bust out a Christmas carol for us? Or
No, sir. No. That's coming to stores near you guys.
God gave you a lot of gifts, and singing wasn't one of them?
Oh, no, sir. Yeah,
me too.
I think I can sing in the shower, you know, but I think I'm I'm drill averse.
I was hoping I was going to get one out of you. Anyway, we got less than a minute. Quickly, what are you expecting out of Detroit?
Oh, a great team. Very good on defense. They're solid. Very, very similar to us. They get a couple of few more breaks, and, you know, they're in the same position that we're in. They're young, up and coming, and we got a handful in Ndamukong Suh, you know, that D tackle. So, you know, they got a safety, Louis Delmas, that's been playing, hitting his butt off. And it's a great challenge, you know. Javier Best, I played against him in the Pac-10. Super fast, one of those guys, electrifying. And it should be a great matchup. We can't wait, and can't wait for the opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you, don't take them for granted. You got three NFC games left.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the opportunity to win some games that could help you in a tie-breaking situation. And before we say goodnight, we just want to say happy birthday to producer Jeff Ryan. Big one for him today. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Total Access Show. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you, callers. Remember, Seattle game, move to 415. Thanks for listening to the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio. Good night.
Been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.